Psalm 56, verse 1, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape my iniquity? In Thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put Thou my tears into Thy bottle. Are they not in Thy book? When I cry unto Thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise His word. In the Lord will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these sweet words that You gifted, dictated to the psalmist, and he so carefully and accurately wrote down. And then, God, for You to dedicate Yourself, for You to take personal responsibility to care for these words and to keep them pure and to keep them preserved so that they could be presented to us today. Lord, I want to thank You for the way that You work and for the Word of God and for the Psalms. And I would ask, Lord, that You would take the Bible and minister to our hearts this morning, Lord. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This has been a, by the way, you ought to just glance over your shoulder and look around a little bit. We're a blessed church. I really mean that. It's just amazing to me as I stand up here week after week. And here we are coming off summer in a busy time, and yet I look around and the house of God is full. Thank You, thank You, thank You for deciding that you're going to get your family to the church house on Sunday mornings. I mean that. All of the people in this community, some of them are struggling and some of them family problems, and all of the burdens of life that come to all of us, they come to all of us. And if I could give everyone in this Tri-County area a piece of advice, I'd say just make this one change in your life. Just get your family to the house of God. Just get your children to the house of God. And does that mean it's going to instantly cure every problem that you have? No. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to put you in a position, in a place where you can get help with whatever you face in life. And so I that hasn't had much to do with the message, but I'm just thankful for so many folks that come so faithfully. Thank you. Keep doing it. You're doing the right thing. And from time to time, you probably need to hear your preacher brag on you a little bit. Thank you. Now, let me say this. By the way, thank you, Sister Carol, and I watch God orchestrate things. Every once in a while, Brother Tom, I think, you know what, I think I'm going to see if I can just go ahead and pick all the songs so that they'll match the message. And then I think, you know, probably the Holy Spirit can do that pretty well. And just absolutely perfect. I would have never thought of that song. The last song that we sang in the congregation, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus." It's almost like those two songs was the introduction to this morning's message. In the last 2 months, in about the last 2 months, I sat in my office and I reviewed in my mind how many different situations, and a lot of them very, very much varied, but how many situations that have happened in our church family in the last 2 to 3 months that have just caused a lot of heartache, caused a lot of sorrow, caused a lot of grief, caused a lot of tears. And I thought about that all week long. And I'm folks, there's things I can share and there's things I can't share. But I was thinking in the last 3 months how many times in my office someone has sat and they've wept. And I've thought of the different situations with the homegoing of some of our people and the families and all the folks that are affected. And I mean everything from little children tears all the way up to senior saint tears. And It's just a part of life. It really is. There's been folks in our church in the last 2 or 3 months has wept some tears of fear. There's been people that have gone under medical procedures and been in the hospital and had to have things that are taken care of. And there's folks that still don't know all of the outcomes and the what ifs and is this thing settled truly or is it not. And I got to thinking, my goodness sakes, this isn't a gigantic church. This is a small, listen, Jasonville, 1,800 people? A church out on the edge of a small town in a very rural community. And yet here in this congregation, it's amazing how many of God's children have had to face very, very difficult things in the last few months. And I got to thinking about all of the tears. God brought this verse to me early on in the week, and I wasn't going to preach on this. I just thought it was one of those verses he was going to just teach me some stuff, and it was for me. But the closer I got to Sunday, the more I realized that this wasn't just something he was doing in my heart. He wanted to do something in my heart so that I could maybe help the church. There's an amazing, amazing verse in the Bible, Psalm 56:8. The Bible says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Now, folks, look up here and listen to me. Tears are very important. Tears are very precious to the Lord. Are you children listening to me? I want to be a blessing to you children. Some of you have wept tears in the last few months. And let me just say this. God noticed and knew every tear he counted, every tear he considered, every tear he collected. I don't understand all of this, but I will say this. I'm a fundamentalist. That may scare some people, but all that means before you get too nervous, all that means is a fundamental Christian, we take the Bible literally. We believe what it says. We don't always understand what it says, but we believe what it says. I don't think God would put in his inspired words the claim that he collects the tears of his children and places them in a bottle if he didn't collect the tears of his children and place them in a bottle. I believe that. Now, you say, Brother Jerry, that seems odd. Well, what does that mean? I mean, do you really think we may get to heaven one day and there are some bottles there with our names on it and God literally has collected our tears? I don't know, but yeah, I guess I do believe that. I do. I really do. I believe that's how important they are to God. He didn't collect our sweat, Brother Brian. You know, it doesn't say anything in here about us collecting our sweat. You know, I think he figures, you know, that's y'all's fault. You know, you had it made in the Garden of Eden and you kind of blew that. So I said, you're going to work by the sweat. He didn't make a claim about collecting our sweat. But the tears, some reason, that's very important to God. I got to thinking about this and I thought, well, that makes sense to me. You know what? If you are saved, God is your Father. And you tell me, show me a parent in here that the tears of their children are not important to them. Show me a mother that the tears of their children are not important. Show me a daddy that the tears of their children are not important to them. And the Bible says in this portion of Scripture that God noticed David's tears. God collected them and put them in a bottle, and God also wrote down the incident in the book of records of his life. Now listen to me very carefully because I want to give you some thoughts concerning these tears in a bottle. Let me say this. I believe God counts our tears. I don't know how many tears I've wept in my life, but God knows. You don't know how many tears you've wept in your life, but God knows. God knows when one of his children is crying. You know, that's not true of me, and it's not true of you as a parent. There's probably been times that my children have gone privately by themselves somewhere and wept, and I didn't even know how brokenhearted they were. I just didn't see it. I didn't know it. But you know what? No child of God can hide anywhere where God does not see their tears. God counts our tears. God knows when one of his children is crying. I think you mothers might have a little bit more insight to this than maybe us guys. Mothers, I don't know, as long as children are in the house, whether they're 2 or whether they're 20, as long as they're in the house, I don't know if a mother really ever goes into a deep sleep. My wife will wake and start in the night, and then I'll wake up sometimes. I'm sure there's been about a zillion times she woke up and I just, you know, didn't know what was going on. But it's amazing how many times I've heard her get up or I've felt her start, and I'll kind of wake up and I'll say, "What's the matter?" And I heard one of the children. And I think, how does she do that? I didn't hear any children. I think the children could come into our room, get on the four corners of the bed, carry us outside, and leave us there. And I'd probably not even know that anything had happened. But mothers have that mechanism. They have that sixth sense. I mean, they hear just a small whimper and boom, you know what? They know when their children's crying. It's amazing. I'll be at the church here and there'll be, you know, 25, 30, 40 kids on a work day running around, or at church running around, and one kid will cry. And that mother will know not only that it's one of her kids, but which of her kids. That's amazing to me. And I hear a kid cry, I'm thinking, who knows? You know, I have no idea, but they know. Well, let me say this. God knows when one of his children is crying. Let me assure you of something. No child of God has ever wept a single tear without the knowledge of the Heavenly Father. Brother Jerry, nobody knows that I'm brokenhearted. That's just simply not true. Not if you're saved. Not if you're saved. That's just simply not true. Nobody cares that I'm brokenhearted. That's simply not true. That's not true. Well, I've kept this away from everybody, and it's a secret. I'm sorry, you can't keep secrets from God. God knows it. God knows when one of his children has a broken heart. God knows when they're crying, and God counts their tears. I want to say something. That tells me something about God. Let me give you what it tells me. God cares for you. He cares for you. God sees your tears. Christ is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. God knows your heartache. He knows your fears. He understands your hurts. And he counts every single one of your tears. And I want to just announce that. I just want to give you that encouragement. This tears in the bottle teaches me that God counts our tears. This tears in the bottle teaches me that God considers our tears. You see, God not only knows when one of his children is crying, God knows why one of his children is crying. All right, parents, sometimes we may know that they're crying, but we don't know why they're crying. You know, and sometimes they're crying so hard they can't tell us. Or sometimes they're embarrassed and they don't want to tell us. And sometimes they may say it's for this reason and it's not really for that reason. But we have a Heavenly Father that not only knows when one of his children is crying, he knows why they are crying. He doesn't just count the tears, he considers the tears. I was meditating on this week and I had this thought. I wonder if our tears are separated into different bottles. Now maybe they're all kept in one bottle, I don't know. But I wonder if they're separated into different bottles. And then I was given this thought. And again, this is speculation. This is Pastor Jerry theology right now. So I'll just tell you, I don't know. There's no indication of this. But I got to thinking of the tears that I've shed in my life, and I thought, you know what? There's probably two bottles that ought to be in heaven with my name on them. One of them ought to say selfish tears, and one of them ought to say saintly tears. Because, unfortunately, folks, we do sometimes just do a lot of selfish crying. Now, what's the difference, Brother Jerry, between selfish tears and saintly tears? And I'm not upset with anybody. I think all of us at times cry because we're hurt. But I will say this. I believe saintly tears are tears that are shed over other people. And selfish tears are tears that are shed over ourselves. Now, I want to say this. One of the greatest things that I learned in Bible college, and I think one of the reasons God put me in inner city ministries, was to teach me to weep for others. Children, you know, honestly, are you children looking? I'm not saying all this is true, and I'm not saying every child's tears this way, but a lot of children's tears are just selfish tears. They didn't get what they wanted. they got hurt, they want attention. But you know what? As you grow up, God wants you more and more to weep over others and less for yourself, to be more concerned for others and less than yourself. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Jerry? Well, I have studied the life of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about line upon line, precept upon precept, phrase upon phrase, and I can say this. Jesus did weep, but I never can find a time where he wept for himself. It was always him weeping over someone else. You see, I believe that the ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. And can I remind you of this? Jesus wept. Yet he never wept for himself. His tears, it seemed like, were always reserved for others. Let me give you something. Hey, can I say something to you, dads? And listen, you know what? We've got so many young couples that are doing such a fine job of rearing their children. And I mean that. You just watch before church, you watch after church. You know, for the most part, I'm going to say that. I'm going to brag on our people. There are tons of children around here. And I always kid and tell visitors, listen, you got to be careful. If you're standing in the wrong place and a bell rings or class is dismissed or children's church let off, you could be trampled to death by children here. I mean, we got a slew of them around here. But I got to say this, and I mean this, and I know we have a lot of bus kids and we bring a lot of kids in from different home situations, but I'm talking about the people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm really, really very proud of the way you are raising your children. For the most part, you are, you know, you won't see a bunch of little hellions running around here. You won't listen to a bunch of disrespectful, potty-mouthed kids running around here. You know why? Because they're being raised according to the Bible. They're kept in church. They're properly disciplined at home. And this whole idea of the nonsense that's being shoved down the throats of young parents, that the Bible doesn't work anymore, and you can't do it the Bible way. You know what? They've forsaken the Word of God, and they're raising a generation of rebels. They're raising a generation of future criminals. It's unbelievable what I'm seeing. So let me say that. But I'm going to say, I want to say this. I want you to think about this. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ hears and sees and knows every tear that is shed from the littlest child in this church all the way to the oldest adult in this church. And Jesus considers our tears. He doesn't just know when we're brokenhearted. He knows why we're brokenhearted. He considers our tears. Now, let me help you with this. Children by nature are selfish. If you don't believe it, go work in the nursery. You're not going to be there where you're not going to have a kid. No, I'm talking about your little sweet, innocent, sinless child. They don't have to get very old where, you know what, somebody's going to get a toy they want, and you know what, they are going to go over there and they're going to rip that toy out of that kid's hand. And if that kid gives them any lip, they might just bash them over the head with it. I'm just telling you. Not trying to frighten any of the mothers. Set still. We have good workers. They usually rescue the children. But I'm just saying. You know what? Immaturity wants what they want. Immaturity worried about them. Immaturity weeps over their hurts. Christian maturity looks around and says, you know what? There's things that we ought to weep over, but what we ought to weep over is others. Others. Let me give you some thoughts here. As God considers our tears, I think God considers our tears that we weep over lost people. I want to say this again. Psalm 156:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And you know what? I think we as Christians, and let's just let the Word of God kind of reprove us a little bit this morning. Okay, let's be open to that. But the honest truth is, folks, we don't probably weep enough for lost people. I'm afraid if I don't want to get to heaven and have God have a bottle this big of my tears and this big around of my tears and have a say on it selfish and have him have a little bottle about that big and it says saintly on it. If I'm going to weep, I want to weep over the things that Jesus wept about. And you know what we find? We find that Jesus wept over the lost souls, the lost unclaimed souls. I remember, and I know I've told this story before, but I can't get away from it. It's one of those moments that I think is just defined in my life. But I believe that God spoke to my heart greatly on this subject one Sunday morning when we were in a storefront church, and me and Cheryl were young and starting a church, and we had some borrowed pews and a borrowed pulpit and a handful of people, and we were preaching and winning souls and seeing people come to Christ. And one Sunday morning I came to the pulpit, and God had burdened my heart all week to preach a message on hell, and I got up and I turned to Luke 16 and preached on hell and gave the invitation, and here a little junior age girl came forward and knelt down on the front pew on this side, and she just began to weep. And I began to think to myself, you know what, this young lady's probably under conviction. She's probably realized she's lost, and she's probably scared, and she wants to be saved. Well, she was from a Christian family, and the dad came up and knelt beside her and took the Bible out and dealt with her and prayed with her. And afterwards, I caught him at the back door, and I said, your daughter, did she need to be saved this morning? He said, oh, no, my daughter's saved. And I said, is she? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, why was she weeping? And he said, she's got an uncle that's lost. And she's so concerned about her uncle. I can still remember it because I've prayed for that uncle all through the years. All I know is his name is Uncle Donnie. I don't know who Uncle Donnie is, but that girl was so concerned over her lost uncle that wasn't saved. She knelt at an old wooden pew. I mean, we had the old wooden kinds, not these liberal kinds with the padding. Although most of you are glad, amen, that we have padding. I'm talking about old wooden pews. I said my goodbyes, and my heart was so touched by that. And I promised that girl and promised her dad that I would pray for her uncle to be saved. But as the folks left the church, and my wife took some children, put them in the car, and went to take them home, I walked up, and I was getting ready to turn the lights off and whatnot, and I walked over to that pew where that young lady was kneeling. And there on the pew, on that wooden pew, was a little puddle about that big of that little girl's tears. And God convicted my heart. And I sat there and looked at those tears that she had wept over a lost uncle, and I thought, when's the last time you ever wept over a lost person? And I realized that even though I had, it had been way too long. And I in the quietness of that auditorium with no one else there but me and God, I made an altar there with that pew and knelt where that girl knelt and mixed my tears with her tears and wept and prayed for her uncle and every other lost person that God brought to my mind. And I said, God, don't let some junior age girl have something that I don't have. And folks, the honest truth is we are commanded in the Bible. We are told that if we will sow in tears, we'll reap in joy. Preacher, I've got a lost loved one. When's the last time you wept over him? You say, well, preacher, you've preached on this subject. I know it's part of our theme, and we're going to keep preaching on it. You know why? Because we need to stop crying our selfish tears and start crying some saintly tears. You know what? This is the kind of thing that Jesus wept over. I remember when I was in charge of teenage soul winning back when I was a youth pastor here, and we had a young lady come to the soul winning bus Wednesday, just like the kids are going now. I mentioned this Wednesday night, but the last five now Wednesdays in a row, somebody's been saved on youth visitation. Our young people are going out, 25, 30 of them, a group of 25 or 30 young people and adults going out, knocking on doors, sharing the gospel, sharing their testimony, passing out gospel tract. And what an exciting thing. But we were out there, and a young lady came back. I could watch her walking towards the block, towards the bus a block away, and she's weeping as she comes. And, you know, I mean, when it comes to our teen girls, I'm very protective. My first thought is, what happened? And I'm going to kill somebody, you know, because one of our teenage girls is coming back to the bus crying. So I went out, I met her about halfway down, and I said, what happened? Are you okay? I mean, honestly, the daddy part of me just comes out about that time, and she looked up at me, and she's sobbing. And finally, I'm like, what happened? And the girl next to her, she was in tears, and I don't know what it was about that particular time, but she had tried to witness to somebody, And they wouldn't listen, and they told her they weren't interested, and they didn't need God, and just get off her property. And that broke that girl's heart. And she's sobbing, weeping, looking at me. She kept saying, I remember she kept saying, Brother Jerry, why don't they get saved? Why won't they listen and just get saved? And I thought to myself, man, I hope I never lose that. I hope this church never loses that. I hope that young lady never loses that. Listen, listen, folks, I believe if we're going to get to heaven and be proud, if you want to use the word proud, or thankful for the tears that God's collected, I hope that the selfish bottle is a lot smarter than the saintly bottle of tears. God considers our tears over the lost. God considers our tears over the wayward. If you look at the life of Jesus, he stood over Jerusalem up on the mountainside, and he wept over the city. As he wept, he said this, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I think one of the things that broke Christ's hearts and drove him to tears was that he wept over wayward people. Over wayward people. Let me give you a verse here. Let me read you some verses. In 3 John, we read these verses. Behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now that's pretty interesting if you'll think about that. John wrote and said to Gaius, I hope that your health, your physical health, is as prosperous as your soul health or your spiritual health. Then he went on to say this, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Then he said this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, for those of us that are Christians and we've served the Lord and we have the church here and we've reached people for Christ and the Sunday school teachers and the Christian school workers and the children's church workers and master's clubs and everybody that invests so much in the young people in this church, I don't know if there's any greater joy that you have. I think the reward, the crown of rejoicing, Paul called it, the reward that you have here on this earth is to watch young people grow up, hear the truth, embrace the truth, live the truth, and carry it on. And man, there's something that's just priceless about that. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And I had to think about this one day, and I thought as I meditated on that scripture, if John had no greater joy than to hear that his children walked in truth, I wonder if he had no greater sorrow than the sorrow that he felt over his converts or Christians that at one time walked with the Lord but had strayed away, that had wandered away. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and said, Listen, I would have gathered you as children. I would have gathered you as a hen gathered their chickens under her wings. Notice this, but ye would not. God gives every man, every woman, every young person a free will. Sooner or later, you will choose to either embrace and live out the truths of God's word. And you know what? You'll bring great joy to those that have invested in you. Or you will decide to turn your back on that and wander a different direction. That's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking. I think one of the things that I had a hard time coming to grips with early in my training years of the ministry in Bible college was the fact that I couldn't somehow sway every Christian young person to follow the Lord. I remember almost how, I knew it up here. But I always felt like that when one of the teenagers I was working with was really having a hard time or was tempted or was drawn away, that if I just got to him, if I just talked to him, if I just wept with him, if I just shared the scriptures with him, that somehow God would always let me turn them. And you know what God taught me? He said, in a series of events that happened, he said, you know what? You're my servant. You're to do my will and you're to speak the truth. But you know what? Every man has to choose. I can remember the very first time that I was confronted with a young person that was on that crossroad. I mean, those crossroads, that Y in the road where it's they're going to turn right and they're going to go on and serve God, or they're going to turn left, and I'm just scared of what waits down that road for them. And I knew this young lady was at that crossroad, and I went and seen her, and she went to her house, and she opened the door about this much. You know, when kids don't really want to do right, they're not real excited about seeing the preacher usually. Not real excited about seeing the bus captain, are they, bus captains? They just kind of want to hide out and do their thing. And I remember pleading with that young lady through about 3 inches of a cracked door, praying with her and pleading with her. At the end of that conversation, her saying to me, "Brother Jerry, don't come back by on the bus. I've thought about it. I'm not going that way. I'm not going to live that way. I'm done going to church." And then she just shut the door. And I remember walking out to the street, and it was just about dusk. And I sat down on the curb, and I absolutely wept my heart out. And I thought to myself, God, I really was devastated. I went there, I'd prayed for this girl, and I was devastated that somehow I could not convince her not to go astray. But you know what? Can I say this? All through the years, and by the way, a lot of times, thank God, God does use you and help you to turn some young heart. And we should never stop trying when that kid is at that crossroad. We ought to listen, I don't care if it's like a runaway train and they're going down the tracks. There ought to be people in this church that's willing to lay down on the tracks in an attempt to try to get them to stop ruining their lives. We ought to just say, you know what, you either hit the brakes or you just run over me. But you know what, if you go, you're just going to have to run over the top of me to do it. We need some people to stand up and stand in the way of these young people and try to help them. But, when the day is all done, they make their own choices. Let me say this. Choose God. Choose God. I've watched young people come to that crossroad, and I've watched them choose right. I've watched young people grow up, and I don't mean they didn't have a struggle. I don't mean they weren't tested, but you know what? At some point they said, you know what? God's right. The Bible's right. The Christian life's the best way. The Christian life's the safest way. And they just went ahead and chose. Listen, young people, choose that. Choose that. Because when someone goes wayward, it causes a lot of tears. I got thinking about the saintly tears. I think God takes the tears we shed over the lost and he puts them in the saintly bottle. He takes the tears that we weep over the wayward and he puts them in the saintly bottle. By the way, I've got a file in my office, and I've never shown it to anybody, and I don't ever plan on showing it to everybody. I've got a file in my office. It's in a place where I can get to it. No one else can get to it. But that file is labeled lost sheep. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't give up on people. I don't care if they've told me, get lost, I hate your guts, I don't ever want to see you again. You know what? They're never going to stop this preacher from praying for him. You know what? You can get mad at me as you want, but you can't stop me from praying for you. You can't stop me from loving you. You can't stop me from caring for you. And you know what? I'm going to keep after. And you know what? We need to have in this church people that just say, all right. Somebody went astray, but we're going to stay on our knees till God brings them back. Sometimes that may be a week or a month or a year, or it may be years, but you know what? I'm not going to stop praying. Because I believe with all of my heart that, you know what? God is a reclaimer of the wayward. I got to thinking about this thought. If God considers our tears over the lost, he considers our tears over the wayward, then you know what? He ought to also see and be able to collect our tears over the reclaimed. I'm not going to go there for sake of time, but if you go to Luke chapter number 15, you read the story of the prodigal son, and yes, he went prodigal, but you know what? There was a daddy that stayed there, and every morning he looked down the road and he wanted to see that boy come back. And when he came back, he ran to meet him and he fell on his neck and he wept tears of joy and he killed the fatted calf. And let me just say this, I believe that one of the greatest feelings in all of the world for a preacher or for a mom or for a dad or for a Sunday school teacher is to see somebody at one time that was serving God, that got off track and believed some lies of the devil. And maybe they were gone for a while, but you know what? The prayers of God's people just kept after them. And all of a sudden there was that turning day. And here they came back. And they said, you know what, I wish I had never left. But you know what, we're not going to, listen, folks, we're not going to be like the elder brother of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing me? We're not going to be that way. We're not going to be that way at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Oh, here comes so-and-so. Man, yeah, they turned their back on God. They're no good. I can't believe they've come back. I'm not going to treat them like that. I'm going to treat them like God would treat. Listen, let me say this, and I want to say it very pointedly. I'm very, very proud of our young people, the ones that have never wandered off into the world. Very proud of them. Let me say this. That's the smart way to do it. You're going to have a whole lot of scars that you don't have to deal with. You're going to have a whole lot of regrets that you don't have to carry. You're going to have a whole lot of baggage that you don't have to tote around. You're going to have a whole lot of memories that you don't have to remember. I'm so glad when a young person just stays the course. And boy, there's a special glow and a special blessing upon their life. I think God just rewards that in a wonderful way. But let me say this also, and I want everyone to hear me plain. I'm also very proud of those who have made some mistakes, but in time they realized it, they righted the ship, and they're now serving God again. I am very proud of them. Philippians 24:16 says, "For a just man falls 7 times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." You know, you invest in so many people, and it sometimes doesn't seem like it worked out. Brother Riser, right now, and you're in the middle of it, and you're investing in kids, and you know what? You may see a kid that seems like they get it for a while, maybe for 6-8 months they come, and then it just seems like they drop off the face of the earth. They don't seem to care. I'm telling you right now, you just keep praying for them. I can't tell you how many kids it seemed like we had, then we lost, and we weren't going to get back. But you know what? They walked down the road a ways. They tasted enough of the devil's lies to realize that's what it was. And there came a day where they walked right back in that back door and said, you know what? I should have never left. I need to get my life right with God. And these things happen. You know, so many of these things happen long term. I'm not going to go into detail, and I don't have time to tell you all the stories, and they wouldn't be as interesting to you as they are to me. But I, in the last couple years, and Cheryl will tell you this, we've rejoiced together. We have gotten phone calls 25 years later from kids that rode inner city Chicago bus routes who we loved and won to Christ and helped grow, but at some point they just got deceived and got off track and messed their lives up, and we had all but forgotten about who, out of the blue, the phone will ring in our house. How these kids find us is scary, actually scary. I don't know if I want too many inner city people in Chicago being able to find me, but how they find our number, I have no idea. And all of a sudden, I'll hear a voice that I hadn't heard in 20 or 25 years. "Brother Jerry, you know who this is?" "I don't have the faintest idea. Who are you?" And all of a sudden, they'll say a name, and it'll take me a moment, and I'll think, "Oh my goodness, what's going on?" "Well, I wanted to track you down. You know, I used to ride your bus." "You know, I know that. What have you been doing?" "Well, for a long time, not very good. But Brother Jerry, I want to tell you something. We're back in church. And yeah, I've got some things that I've got to fix, and there's some mistakes I've made, but I want to tell you something. Everything that you preached was right, and everything that you warned me about was right, and I just want you to know that thank you for caring for me, thank you for loving me, thank you for not..." Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you want to give up on people, give up on them. I'm not going to give up on them. If you want to just write them off and say, "Oh, see, they didn't mean it anyway," then do it. But I'm not going to give up on them. And you know what? I believe that if we're going to weep when they go astray, then we ought to weep with joy when they come back. One of the greatest joys in my life is to be there. Are you listening to me? Be there when a prodigal returns. Be wrong for me to weep in sorrow when they are wayward, not weep with joy when they are reclaimed. God collects our tears. God counts them, God considers them, God collects them. God treats the tears of his children as precious. Tears are needed in life. Tears often are used to cleanse our soul. God believes they are precious, that they are valuable. I had to think this thought as I was meditating. Why does he keep them? I thought back to the tears that I've shed now in 25 years of ministry and that I've seen shed in 25 years of ministry. And I had this thought. Let me just give you this. I want to spend my life catching tears, not causing tears. Let me say it again. I want to spend my life catching tears, not causing tears. Let me say it again. I want to spend my life catching tears, not causing tears. Hey, this life has enough built-in heartache, young people, without you causing your mom and dad anymore. This life has enough built-in heartache that grandma and grandpa is going to have to face without you causing them any more tears. Listen, don't spend your life causing tears. Spend your life catching tears. And you know what? That's a great way to live. I think of the 25 years of tears that I've seen shed and people that I've tried to help, and the hardest part of it is not being able to answer the question why. It's hard when children are crying and they want to know why and I can't tell them. It's hard when teenagers are crying and they want to know why and I can't tell them. It's hard when wives are crying and they want to know why and I can't tell them. Are you listening to me? It's hard when senior saints are weeping and they want to know why and I can't tell them. But I want to remind you what the verse says. Here's the question. Why would God keep our tears? Here's the answer. Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Here's the interesting thing. God doesn't just collect our tears. Every time he collects our tears, he carefully records the reasons why. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. God is not obligated to explain anything to me. But I promise you that this is true. Every single heartache, every single tear, every single why that you never got an answer to, I believe God not only is going to bring those tears out and review them and relive them with you, but he's going to open the book of your life and he is going to explain things. And for the first time, we are going to understand some whys that we never understood. Isn't that good? I believe God keeps the tears so that he can show us the whys behind every tear. Let me give you this. Trust the Lord. Trust the Brother Jerry, my heart's breaking. Trust the Lord. Brother Jerry, I'm fighting bitterness. Don't give up. Trust the Lord. I can't see why this would happen. Listen, you're not always going to be able to see why, but I promise you that there is a why. Listen, don't quit. Serve Jesus. I don't care if you got to serve him through tears. I don't care if you have to serve him through sobs. I don't care if you have to curl up in a ball and weep for an hour and get up and brush yourself off and come to church. But listen, stay faithful to God. One of these days when you're standing there, God shows you the whys behind the tears, you know what? You're going to be glad that you trusted him. One more thought. God counts our tears, considers our tears, collects our tears, and one day God will confiscate our tears. How about this? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. One of these days, God's going to say, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I'm going to collect the last tear that you'll ever weep. And he's going to put those in that bottle, and he's going to put a permanent stopper on that bottle. You know why? Because no more tears are ever going to have to be added to that bottle. Now, what I've given you is life as a Christian, as it's viewed as a Christian, as a saved person. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. Life's hard. Life's full of heartache. It just is. I don't understand people that want to live it without Jesus Christ as their Savior. I mean, I understand that all of us had to come to the opportunity to be saved and had to hear the gospel to understand how to be saved. But listen to me, if you're here this morning and you're without Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me say this, you God never intended you to live through the heartaches of life by yourself. There's a Heavenly Father that says, I'll save you, and I'll come into your life. And I'm not going to say that that's going to remove every heartache of life, but all of a sudden you have the supernatural Almighty God walking with you, helping you face every hardship of life and collecting your tears, and as your Father, hearing you when you cry, knowing why you're crying, caring about what's going on in your life. And one of these days you can have this experience in heaven where God wipes away all tears. I want you to open your songbook to page number 89, if you would. Page number 89. We're going to conduct the invitation just a little differently today. Page number 89, the song is Does Jesus Care? Sister Lauren, Brother Tom, if you'll come on up at this time, we're going to sing this together. Psalm 89, and I want you to think about the words of this song. I want you to let this song minister to your heart. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? How about this? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Verse 3, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? And here's the answer to all those questions. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we sing this song, I pray that you'd bind this truth to our heart. If there's someone here without Christ, I pray that they'd come and be saved. If there's a Christian here that's hurting in their heart, Lord, and Lord, maybe they've been stuck on some whys of life, or the burden's been heavy and the heartache's been intense, I pray, Lord, that they'd understand that there's a God, a Heavenly Father that loves them, that's with them, that understands when no one else in the world will understand. Bless our time of invitation.